Good evening, everyone. This is Chuck, K0RK, and welcome to the Vakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. This net meets every Monday night at 7:30 and uses the Minnesota, Wisconsin room number 21493. This is an open technical net, but please check in through net control. Tonight's net control stations are November 0 Papa X-Ray Tango Shane, Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta Otis, Kilo 9 Echo Quebec Chris, and K0 4K Chuck. The Vakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Vakken. Earl was the founder of Medtronic, and he was always interested in radio and is a founding sponsor of the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting. Earl allows us to use his name because he's a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Bars and Earl at www.w0mdt.com. The 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Medtronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35W in Moundsview, Minnesota. Please remember there's a chat window available at hamoperator.com. Select MinWiz and then MinWiz Chat. Our format tonight is net control will only take check-ins from stations with traffic for the net. Please reply with your name, city, and state. We'll acknowledge your call, put it on the list in the order received. And if for some reason you can't get in, you can use the chat window at hamoperator.com. Select MinWiz, then MinWiz Chat. I do have one announcement for the net this evening. Hams in the Park will be coming up on May 8th. Starts at noon, Long Lake Regional Park. Hope to see you there if you're local. If not, set one up in your own park, and maybe we can make some contacts back and forth. Is there anybody else with an announcement for the net? Please check in now. Give me your name, city, and state.
This is Frank. N1DGQ, November 1, Delta, Golf, Quebec, in Nashua, New Hampshire, and I have an update to a previous check-in, a technical note.
All right, didn't hear anybody with an announcement, so we'll move into Frank, November 1, Delta, Golf, Quebec. Nashua, New Hampshire, go ahead with your comment or question, whatever it was. Actually, a reply back to a prior one, so giving us a heads up. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, Chuck. N1DGQ here. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I checked into the technical net asking about low audio on my Yaesu FT70. When I talk directly into the radio. I have solved that problem. Basically, what I did was I used an external speaker mic, and that seemed to have solved the problem. I sent an email with all the details to net@hamradiooperator.com, I believe it is. But just to summarize, I tested out 3 FT70 radios. Let me reset. Tested out 3 FT70 radios, 2 of which had very poor audio quality and very low level of audio when speaking directly into the radio. When I hooked up an external speaker mic, I was amazed at how much better quality the audio was, and the audio level came right up to where it belonged. So the solution is to use an external speaker mic. I suspect that the little hole in the radio case has a membrane behind it to protect the microphone and the inner parts of the radio, make them water resistant. However, that membrane, I believe, muffles the sound. At least that's my theory. I ended up purchasing a Yaesu external speaker mic for that, and I ended up adjusting the mic gain on the radio that I, one of the radios I own that had the poor audio quality, I adjusted it to a level 7. And I was going to type this into the chat section, but it said I had to register, and I didn't know anything about registering. So consequently, I just sent an email. Back to net control, I don't know if you have any questions or if I made myself clear, or if you even received the email.
All right, well, thanks for the heads up on what you did and how you fixed it. And I did not see the email, but I'm only one of the group, so. But thanks for explaining it here on the net, and other people will be able to copy you through that. Frank, appreciate you checking back in. With that, I'm going to move to anybody else with comments or questions for the net. If you've got comments or questions for the net, give us your name, city, and state. There you go. Yeah, let me try that again. We're looking for people that want to check into the net with comments or questions. All things Yaesu Fusion is what we try to talk about. And, well, in order to talk, we need your questions and comments. Why don't you try it now? Give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead.
KB4, TK, Kilo, Bravo 4, India. Tango Kilo. Jim, I'm in Bloomfield, Kentucky with a question.
All right, Jim. Kilo Bravo 4, India Tango Kilo. Jim, Bloomfield, Kentucky. Why don't you go ahead and give us your question?
Okay. I have a FT-70, and they're notorious for not having very good battery life. I'm trying to find out the best dual-band enhanced antenna. I know you had talked about that many months ago, about what you thought was the best aftermarket antenna to get past the rubber duck so I can operate on low power.
Well, I can't guarantee that you'll be able to operate on low power, but the best one that I found through the testing that I've done is the Comet HT224. That's the best one that I found. Works good on 2 meters, works fabulous on 220, and works very good on 440. So that's the best one I found. Back to you, Jim. HT224.
Okay, well, in my location, I'm able, if I've got a good antenna, I can stay on low power all the time. So, on UHF. So that's what I've done. That's the number I was looking for. I remember you mentioning that, but I just couldn't remember the number, and I'm going to give that a try. KB4ITK.
Thank you, Jim. That's what we're here for, is to help each other out. And in case somebody new is listening, I have made a hobby. You know, ham radio is a hobby and you got to do something. Well, I've been going to ham fests and the local hams in the park that we always do when I bring testing equipment. And somebody has a new HT antenna. I've been testing them and keeping a log file. And I so far have got well over 100 different antennas tested. Not 100 different kinds, but 100 total. And the H224 is the one that has been the best overall for reliability. Or how would I say it? Gives the best performance. There, every once in a while, we have one antenna that does really good, but you test 4 more, and they're all not worth it all. So that's what we found. Looking back to the question and answer part of this. If you've got a question or a comment for the net, name, city, and state, go ahead.
K0HZL, name is Ward. We're located in Mason City, Iowa. I have a question.
All right, Kilo Zero Hotel Zulu Lima. Warren, Mason City, Iowa, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good evening, Chuck. I don't know whether this is pertinent or not. I currently am operating a FT3 handheld, and I'm wondering why the time does not display on the main, display here on the radio. Or is there something I'm missing? I've been in the manuals and stuff, and I can't find anything that addresses the time not showing on the display. That's my question, Chuck. Thanks.
All right. I don't have one of those, but I know Otis does. So, Whiskey 4, India Oscar Delta. Otis, why don't you go ahead?
All right, Chuck. We'll see if we can help Ward out with that. That question has been asked before, and hopefully my audio's okay. I'm just on a regular FT-70 without any kind of external mic, so hopefully everyone's hearing me. I think the answer that N9UPC actually gave on that, because the FT-1, the clock's up front, the FT-2's up front, it just wasn't designed to do that. It was a trade-off. So to get to the clock, and we've actually discussed that on this net as far as why it's displayed in military time versus the 12 hours and the actual internal clock as far as the chipset, and K9EQ has actually dove into that. So unfortunately, it's just like everything else. A lot of folks ask why the distance is not displayed as far as the banner, like the 400. And why the time isn't displayed like all the other HTs, but to get to that, you know the deal on that. Hit the display button, go to the very satellite screen, and there's your time. But I'm pretty sure that was the answer that John Quirk gave on that. And unfortunately, if you want to know the time, that's the screen you got to go to on the FT3. Chuck, hopefully that answers a question for Ward, and I'll turn it back to Net Control, W4IOD.
All right, well, Ward, did that cover it for you? Do you have anything else you need to add? Back to you.
No, I think Otis answered the question. Yes, I know how to get into the screen for the date and time, et cetera, et cetera. I was just curious why I never, displayed on the main display, but I think that was something that had to be let going because some of the software needed to make this radio probably operated. I'm satisfied with the question. I was just kind of curious. So you guys all do a good job, and everybody have a good evening. K0HZL, we're located up here in the north central part of the state of Iowa. 7-3 for now.
All right, Ward, thank you for a great question, and, glad we were able to answer it. That does end my list, looking for anybody else with comments or questions for the net. Name, city, and state, go ahead.
W9AUV, Terry in Batavia, Illinois, with a question.
Kilo Echo 4 Uniform Yankee Delta, Michael in Memphis, Tennessee. Just wanted to check in.
All right, we got two of them there. Whiskey 9, Alpha Union Victor Terry out of Batavia, Illinois, and then somebody that started with a Kilo Echo 4 and had a different call sign on the radio. But just wanted to say hi anyway, so hello back to you, whoever it was. Terry, Whiskey 9, Alpha Union Victor, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, this is W9EUV, Terry. I picked up an FT-70 at a ham fest yesterday, and I was wondering if I could use my stereo headphones on it without any problem with the radio, or if I have to have some special headset with it. W9AUV.
All right. No, you cannot use your stereo headphones with it. It does take a special plug. It's one of the standard Yaesu plugs that's got four pin or four conductors on it, so the stereo plug does not work. Sorry, Terry, that one's not going to work for you there.
Okay, I kind of figured that, but I just wanted to ask anyway before I tried it. So, thanks a lot, W9AUV.
All right, moving along. We'll see if there's anybody else out there with comments or questions for the net. Give us your name, city, and state. Try it now.
Kilo 7, November, Delta Oscar, K7, Indio, Indio in Washington State.
All right, Kilo 7, November, Delta Oscar, Mill Creek, Washington. Give us your name and then go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good evening, everybody on the net and net control. The name here is Indio, I-N-D-I-O, Indio. And the question I have is, when would I use the voice wide mode on my FT70 when I'm using that to talk into my hotspot and to talk to the different reflectors and what have you? You know, I have it set on the digital narrow, which kind of seems to be the default, and sometimes if I manually switch it to voice wide, it gets switched back to the digital narrow when others talk and so forth. So I was just wondering, when is the prime application for one to use the voice wide setting? Thank you. K7 Indio, back to net control.
All right, Indio, I'm going to send that one to Chris, K9EQ. Chris, can you give us a better rundown on how that all works?
Okay. The important reason for the VW is to provide an improvement in audio quality. It's an older vocoder. However, its use does come with a few compromises. The most significant of which is the fusion system transmits data at the same rate, no matter whether you use the voice wide or the narrow mode. The extra bits that are available when using narrow mode are used to transmit GPS and call sign information once a second, plus additional forward error correction, which can come in handy if your signal is marginal into the machine. It gives you about a 3 dB improvement in effective signal strength. There's also compatibility issues. If you're using it on a hotspot, you might want to be more aware of those. Yeah, within the fusion system, it doesn't matter so much. But for example, if you're bridging between, or there's a you're on something that's bridged between a fusion and DMR, let's say, DMR cannot decode voice wide. So you know, the people on the DMR side would just hear a carrier. So the DN mode is gives a better performance. You know, and there's a you know, if you got a good speaker and people aren't overdriving things and whatever, voice wide does sound better. It sounds better if you're doing FM to digital, things like that. FM to digital on DN can be sketchy at times, or it's a lot better on the voice wide. What's happening on your radio, I forget which radio you said you had. It's here somewhere. No, I don't have it here. Anyway, the radio is going to switch to whatever mode is being transmitted. So you'll see it. Say you're in the DN mode, and it'll pop to voice wide. Depending upon the radio and the settings, it may actually switch your mode to voice wide to match that of the person you're talking to. You know, if you have the AMS set, as Otis is mentioning. So anyway, but yeah, I think on the FT-70, if you have the thing set in DN, it kind of stays in DN. And like I say, well, it's on the screen here, but I need another hand to scroll over to see it. Anyway, hopefully that answers your question. I'll send it back to Chuck, K90Q.
Thank you, Chris. And Indio, do you have any more questions on that or how it all works? Back to you.
No, that was pretty informative there. I certainly appreciate it. It would explain why sometimes it would switch back and forth, as you explained there, and it really doesn't sound like it makes that giant of a difference, the way it was explained there. So I guess I was just thinking that, maybe the voice wide was the way to go for the most premium optimal voice, but maybe that just depends on exactly the circumstances and what have you. Thanks a lot for answering the question. I appreciate it. Everybody have a good week ahead. K7NDO, back to Net Control.
Well, thank you very much. That's a great question. We've had it before, but, there's always new people coming in, and that's what we're here for, is to help answer those questions. So, Sigyu, into... If you've got a question or a comment, name, city, and state, try us now. Go ahead.
W9CPY, Gary, Wausau, Wisconsin, with a question.
All right, Whiskey 9, Charlie, Papa Yankee, Gary, out of Wausau, Wisconsin. Go ahead with your question.
Well, I use my FT3 mobile a lot, and I like the screen a lot when it's mobile, and I know I can go into the display mode and turn it to continuous. A number of radios, HTs that I've owned, have had a feature where if it's plugged into external power, you can have it set so the display comes up and stays continuous. I've not found that setting in any of my perusings, and I'm just curious if anyone knows if the FT3 has such a thing, or if it's just going to be always turn it on continuous every time I set it up in the car. Thanks.
All right, I think you had your thumb over the microphone to start with. We missed the first half of the question, but Otis is going to have a look in the menus to see what he can find. So I'm going to actually send it his way. So Otis, why don't you take it over from here? This is Chuck K0HORK.
Okay. Well, I was waiting to see if I had it. Let's see if I can turn this down so I can actually talk on one radio at a time instead of two. If I understand the question correctly, because it was difficult to hear the first part, but I believe he was talking about having it connected to a continuous power supply. Under the display settings on the FT3, I think was the radio that he was looking. Under display, I think you go in there and you can actually, it's menu 4, I think, the lamp. And actually, you can change that as far as the save of the key. Mine's on 30 seconds. And then the save is either on or off. So I would try that configuration first. I've never actually run the FT3 in the vehicle on a continuous power supply. So without digging out the manual, that's that would be my recommendation to try that. I know it works on the FT2. We've actually done that to conserve battery. And then as far as the setting it up on the personal visual or portable HRI mode to actually save the display as well. But it's one of those things that I believe I would try that first and see if that worked for you. W4IOD, back to Net Control.
Thank you, Otis. I do appreciate that. And Gary, why don't you give that a try and then... You can yell back at us and tell us whether or not it works, unless you've already done it. So over to you, Gary.
Yes, and I think I had my finger over the mic. The mic location on this is different than some of my other radios. Yeah, what I was particularly concerned about is some HDs have a setting when if you plug it in to an external voltage, it automatically kicks the display on permanently. So I haven't found that in this radio, and I suspect it doesn't have it. So I'll just always go in there and kick it on to continuous and then shut it off when I'm on battery. It's not a big deal, but it would be one of those little elegant solutions. Thanks, guys. W9CPY.
All right. Well, thanks for another good question. Sorry we couldn't give you an answer that was more happy. With that, we're looking for more people with questions. If you've got a question for the net, questions or comments, name, city, and state. Go ahead. All right. I see Otis has a comment. Whiskey 4, Andy Oscar Delta. Go ahead.
Well, it was just a thought as far as what Gary was actually asking, and he sounds much better when he doesn't have his thumb over his microphone. I actually have a friend who I will not mention that has a bad habit of that, especially with the FT3, but just a comment on Gary's question as far as why that LCD display is not on full time with the external power source, and Pete can probably describe that as well. Starting to see, and not necessarily on the FT3, but on the FTM300, starting to see some shadowing or burn-in, if you will, on the displays. I know Pete has an issue with his 80-0MI. I've seen a couple other ones. It's not something that Yaesu will discuss publicly. I've actually posed that question on their Facebook page and told that I pretty much violated the policy as far as technical questions. I didn't realize that was a technical question, but you learn something new every day. So it could be that it's designed that way to prevent screen burn-in, and I thought we were all past that with the newer displays, but, you know, you learn something new every day, Gary. And just another comment is in regards to the WireZec software. I have seen this, and it's been intermittent over the past 48 to 72 hours. And on the WireZec version software that I'm running here, it's version 1.530. And there's a status indicator over to the right, and this only seems to be affected the HRI 200 module. So if you are running a PDN or a portable HRI 200 setup, you're not seeing this. I had the issue on and off all day yesterday. To this morning it had gone away, and this evening it's back. But it'll either be flashing red offline, or it will light up continuously red. But I attribute that to being a server issue in Japan. It continues to work, just that little hiccup. Don't know what's up with that, but that's the only thing I could come up with. Chuck, that's only the comments that we have on that, and I don't know if Pete wants to comment on his shadow display or not. W4IOD, back to net control.
Well, I don't think he's sent it in yet, or has he sent it in? But he hasn't heard anything back yet, so... We'll wait until Pete's available for that. Looking for anybody else with comments or questions for the net? Give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead.
K92.
K92, Chris, go ahead. What do you got for us tonight?
I'll just mention two things. One is, if you happen to be, obviously, you guys with the WireZec nodes, you see that offline stuff going on like Cody was describing, that is most likely work being done on the servers in Japan. And it seems like they, like any good organization, they try to do all their work on the servers, you know, late at night, around midnight. Unfortunately, that happens to be like in the middle of the day for us. So, but anyway, the probably the most important thing we get from those servers is a relationship between room numbers or node numbers and IP addresses. So if you have that going on and everything is still working and you happen to shut down your WireSX software, you, when you start it up again, you might not be able to reload that table of IP addresses. So just an FYI there. I also wanted to mention that a little belatedly, hamoperator.com has been updated with the hams in the park information, at least for the park that's in the north metro area, the Minnesota Twin Cities. And it's on the calendar, and it's also, if you go to hamoperator/park, there is a page for that as well. So if anybody else has is going to be doing an event that Saturday, please let me know so I can add that to the list of parky things going on hamoperator.com, and maybe good stuff will happen with that, and the different parks will be able to communicate with one another, and so forth and so on. Anyway, just wanted to mention that on the hams in the park, because it is really a cool thing to do, and now living out here in California, I kind of miss it when you guys do that. Not when it's snowing when you do that, but other than that, I miss it when you do that. Back to that, the K9EQ.
You know, we kind of resemble that remark, Chris. A couple of years ago, we had the April hams in the park, and we got 14 inches of snow, and people still showed up. I guess we're all kind of strange that way. Looking for more people that want to be part of the net. If you've got a comment or a question, give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead now.
KC1HHK, Paul in Quincy, Massachusetts. Good evening, net.
Kilo Charlie 1, Hotel Kilo. Paul, why don't you go ahead with your comment or question?
Kilo Charlie 1, Hotel Kilo, back to net control. I just happened to tune over here, so I'm not familiar with any topics tonight, but my comment is that I've heard this net is one of the best ones around, and that's the reason I tuned over. So with that, I'll back out here and wait for your comments, and hopefully I'll have something else to say. Back to you, KC1HHK.
Well, thank you for the very nice comment there. We do try. Sometimes we even succeed. And it's not always due to us, but it's a great team that we've got put together here with a lot of people with a lot of wide knowledge about the ASUS stuff. All right, looking for more comments or questions for the net. If you've got them, give us your name, city, and state. Check in now.
KC1HHK, comment.
Kilo Charlie 1, Hotel Kilo, go ahead.
Kilo Charlie 1, Hotel Kilo. The comment is this. I heard a QSO yesterday on AmericaLink, and the Canadian station was talking about how he has a WireSX room set up in analog coming in through a 300. And, of course, into the WireSX software, HRI 200, FTM 300. And he was saying that he is using an analog HT to hit his room and come into the WireSX network. And I just wanted to know before I started to look into the manuals, in general, is that possible? Back to you, KC1, Kilo, Charlie 1, Hotel Kilo.
Yes, it is possible, and doing it definitely the hard way. But it is possible, and, you know, you just have to look into it. Chris, I know you know a little bit more about that than I do, so K9EQ, can you answer a little bit more on that?
Well, I mean, on Wires X, you can have both analog and digital nodes connecting. So I'm not exactly sure what that fellow was doing. Some folks have taken the HRI-200, which is one of the ASUS interface doobities, and has, connected it directly to the radio port 2 and just used it directly without a radio at all in the analog mode. So in the Wires X system, the digital stations have, of course, a vocoder and the radio that they're using, so that it's able to convert the analog into digital and vice versa. You know, there's essentially two streams that get sent out, a digital and an analog one. So, yeah, it's entirely possible to do analog. For example, you can connect up a conventional, like an FT7800, an old Yaesu radio with a packet connector to the HRI-200, and run that as an analog mode. Generally, when you're running in the analog mode, the digital stuff sounds fine, but on the digital side, the analog signals might sound a little sketchy. So anyway, back to you, Chuck, K90Q.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the fill-in on that one. And Paul, to then answer your question.
Kilo Charlie 1, Hotel Kilo to K9EQ. Chris, thank you so much for the information. And it's going to it's piqued my interest a little bit, and I just I'm going to look into it, and I'll leave it at that. But thank you so much for quick service here on the net. Appreciate it very much. Kilo Charlie 1, Hotel Kilo, back to monitoring and giving it back to net control.
All right, thank you, and I'm glad we could help you out. Again, this is Chuck, K0ORK with the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Looking for more check-ins with comments or questions. Give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead now.
This is K8AMP, Tom from Belleville, Michigan. Hopefully a quick, simple question about the FT3D.
All right, Kilo 8, Alpha Mike Papa, Tom. FT3 question. Seems like FT3 night tonight. Go ahead, see if we can help you out.
Well, hopefully this one's easy. I'm just wondering if it is possible to add my name at the tail end of my call sign on the radio itself. I haven't found a way to do that. Every time I try to go to anything other than the standard alphanumeric characters, like a slash or a dash, it just won't let me put that in. So I can't put a space, I can't put anything else. You guys know what's up. Let me know how to do that, if it's possible. Thank you.
All right, over to the guru of FT3, Otis. It's up to you. Go ahead.
Well, that's a fairly easy question, if your touchscreen's working. So let's see if we can answer the question for Tom. I'm on the FT3D now. So as you can see, if you can squeeze it in there with enough characters, it will allow you to do that. And so obviously the longer your call sign, the less numerical or alphanumeric characters you're going to be able to work in there. Luckily for me, I have a short name. So I just pretty much put the slant, forward slash, and my name, and then enter. That's how that worked. So I don't know why you're not able to do that, Tom, but if it's short enough, and yours is the three-letter, and with your call, it should fit right in there. So alphanumeric keyboard on the touch screen, and then rotate it to the one that you want. That's pretty much all I can tell you on that one. Hopefully you'll figure that one out. W4IOD, back to net control.
Well, I will throw in a couple cents here. It won't let you put in a space. There's got to be a character there, so you have to go to the keyboard and pick out like a dash or a slash or something to put in before your name, unless you use your name as the whole thing, but then the FCC doesn't like it, according to one of my friends. So you need to put some kind of a delineator in there. But, Tom, you should be able to figure it out with just a little bit of work. Back to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys. Maybe I was just trying to put a space in. I'll try some other delineators, as you suggested. Basically, the purpose of my question is to know, am I barking up the wrong tree, or is this actually possible? Now I know it's possible, I will get it done. Thank you, guys.
All right. Okay, Chris Peterson just sent K9EQ. For it to be valid for an FCC call, you must use either a slash or a dash. He looked it up, and that's what they require. So, 2 cents worth from Chris also. Thanks for a really good question, Tom. Appreciate it. And I think we'll make this the last call for the night. If you've got a question or a comment, okay, the forward slash is also known as a stroke. So, one or the other. But if you've got a comment or a question for the net, now's your chance. Last call for the net. Name, city, state, go ahead now.
Just a quick confirmation, Tate AMP. I definitely was having the problem because space was grayed out and other characters, but I found my way into the other where I could put a dash in. And a slash, and I think I got it now.
Kilo 8 Alpha Mike Papa dash Tom. So you got it. Congratulations, old man. Way to go. You got it. You got it fixed there. Tom, back to you.
Fantastic. Thanks for the confirmation. I appreciate the help. I was just getting stumbled up because the space and the other character menus were grayed out, but there was one opportunity to get in and put the slash or the dash, and I chose the dash, and you confirmed it. So thank you very much, guys. Appreciate your help. K8AMP will be clear and back to next.
All right. Well, it's always nice to end the net on a positive note. But I want to thank everybody for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. We meet here every Monday night at 7:30 Central Time, and we cover all things fusion. Thanks for listening, and please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming use of the room. This is Chuck, K0HK, and everyone have a great week, and I'll be clear.
W9AUV radio check.